Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atadurāgatam surai kuravandurahaturam sanivartyādvidam spritam payaksva nagarim priyai. Had a profound affection for Lord Krishna. The Pandavas, who were of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They overwhelmed with thoughts of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded towards Dwarka with his dear companions. Om Jnana Timuranda Siya Ananjana Shalakaya Saksurun Mulatam Yena Tavai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Trapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarukyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Atha Duragatam Surai, Kolavandirahaturam. Sanivartya dinam vigdang prayatsva nagarim priyai. Had a profound affection for Lord Krishna. The Pandavas, who were of the Kuru dynasty, accompanied him a considerable distance to see him off. They were overwhelmed with the thought of future separation. The Lord, however, persuaded them to return home, and he proceeded towards Dwarka with his dear companions. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ananjana Shalakaya Taksurin Navatam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I was in Govardhan for a week. I'm back in my place, and after 41 years, I finally have my own place in Vrindavan. And I have to say, it is really quite a wonderful place to facilitate what I'm doing, and I thank Ananda Govardhan for actually providing this for me. It's just about an hour ago. I had the key Russians here. That's why I'm here. One of them asked me, you know, how do you come to Vrindavan? How do you stay in Vrindavan? Save it is everything. Narayana Prasarve, Nakutas Chanya Bhupyati, Swatha Pavana, Narakeshu, Apituya Vidarshi. And one who is Narayana Paraya, who loves God, then Swadhipavada Narakeshu, up until where he can please God, it doesn't matter. Heaven, hell, earthly planets, by God's grace, I have my service here. And that's why I'm here, to save him. Without saving, there's no regard. I was just at the, I went back to Govardhan for the Govardhan retreat with Satchinandas, Swami and Burijan Prabhu. And Burijan Prabhu's guitar was wonderful. It was wonderful in a very unique way, because I usually speak on the 10th canto, but I try to pick stories where there's, you know, really good philosophical input. If that's what really, you know. And there's really only a few really good 10th canto stories like that. Chapter, Krishna Death of Vrindavan, Julia Denikasara, Dhamadi Mohan Leela, Wives of the Brahmin's Class, the Pura Leela, which I'm studying now. And he's doing the Kali Leela, which is mostly kind of descriptive, not very deep Gyanic philosophy, you know, mostly. But he really studied, and he put the Sanskrit and did it through the Sanskrit words and their meaning, and it goes beyond intellect. You actually experience Krishna in the form of his pastimes. And experiencing Krishna means you get that feeling of his beauty and his qualities, and specifically his mercy. And I realize this is the process of developing Krishna consciousness. We have to hear about Krishna. We have to hear about Krishna. It works. You just become allured. You become attracted, and it's transcendental. It's not just a construct in the mind, but through that description which you construct in your mind, something comes far beyond your mind, and that's Krishna. And that's really the goal of life and the process of attaining it, is to touch God by faith when the mind opens up. It allows your heart, your soul, to actually experience the connection with God, which is the greatest pleasure. So here also we're seeing how much beautiful Krishna is and how people love him so much. They cannot tolerate separation. They're so attracted. We may get infatuated or have some infatuation or like someone, etc. But it's nothing compared to having an eternal relationship with Krishna, who is Nitya, he's eternal, Artha, he's real, and Priya, he's the most dear. The body has no meaning without the soul. The body is dear because of the soul. And the soul has no meaning without the super soul. So what's most dear to us is actually God. It's actually God, because he's the soul of the soul. So we're seeing that he's leaving now, finally leaving Hastinapur. He attempted several times, but he was bound by the affection of his devotee, and that is the greatness of God, the greatness of Krishna, is that he is reciprocal, he's controlled by love. He's controlled by love. Um, And now he's leaving, and people are considering him, and they're overwhelmed, sneak on, with affection, viraha, groom, overwhelmed by a sense of separation and full of affection. Krishna persuades them to return home. Krishna sometimes persuades the devotees to come home, like in the Wives of the Brahmins Blessed. He told them to go home because they actually weren't yet qualified for what they were getting, actually. Sometimes Krishna gives you more than you're qualified for to give you the aspiration to attain it. That's the essence of sadhana. Sadhana means that you have a goal. And the goal is based on some experience or taste that makes that goal the goal, the sublimity that you're seeking. And that's what sadhana is the practice to attain a goal. So sadhana bhakti is the utilizing the senses in a proper way so that you can get the goal, which is bhava, which is these feelings of affection. Anyway, the wives of Brahmins, they weren't yet, so they had to go back and continue the process to become perfected. Same thing at Narada Muni when he had Sakshat Darshan. He saw, then it disappeared, and then he was told, you have to continue, you have to qualify, but now you have a better idea what the goal is. And I think a lot of us also have that same experience. We had some experience that made us convinced that this is the goal of life. And maybe even if sometimes that experience receded to some degree, we still have that taste. As if a Prabhupada said, when someone goes away from Krishna consciousness, even if they leave Krishna consciousness, and they're doing the exact same activities as a karmi, they shouldn't be considered just an ordinary materialist because they have rasa graha. They have, they're holding within their heart some rasa, some experience of that connection and love to God. This is the goal of life. Love is everything. And the real love is to love everything, to love God. And to love parts of God in relationship to God as eternal souls, whose duty it is we have to relate with them in an affectionate way, to mutually serve each other for that higher goal of Krishna consciousness. And the Lord persuaded him to return home. And that separation, and Srila Gaurabinda Maharaj wrote a book, The Embankment of Separation, by river has two embankments. Love is prema, it is like a river. It's something that flows very, very forcefully. Not something that you have to move. It's something that moves you. It's not something that you move, that you create. But it's something that moves you, and it can move you to a certain extent. It can even move God. Prema sometimes is considered greater than God in the sense that it becomes the karana or the cause of God, or how it's described, just like some people act for pleasure, and people are drunk out of pleasure, they act. Pleasure precedes is controlling the action. The same thing with God when he's in the Rasabad. The praying becomes so great that God becomes intoxicated. Out of that pleasure, he acts. The pleasure is causing the action, not the action is causing one's pleasure. In this prema, it's just flowing. They're overwhelmed, and Krishna sends them back, which only increases their love. And then proceeds with very exposures to go and return to the walker. Kuru Jangala Panchalam Sri Sengam Sayamudam Samahatun Kuru Shetram Matsyam Sarasatam Bata Maru Dangan Atikandya Sobira Pirayo Karam Anarkam Bhagavad Bhagavad O Shaunaka, the Lord then proceeded towards the Guru Jungala, Panchala, Surasena, the land at the bank of the Jamuna, Brahmavar, Kurukshetra, Matsya, Sarasvata, the province of the desert and the land of scanty water. After crossing these provinces, we gradually reached the Sobira and Ambira provinces, and west of these reached Walker. Purport, the provinces passed over by the Lord in these days were differently named, but the direction given is sufficient to indicate that he traveled through Delhi, Punjab, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Surapta, and Gujarat, and at last reach his home province at Dwarka. So it's so nice. In Vrindavan, it's the land that God walked, and so is Gujarat, Kuchak, and Rajasthan. And why not? Why cannot God walk? The agent, he did not. He walks and he doesn't walk. But he walked. Why can't God walk? We have a walking God. We have a talking God. I remember someone, I was in South America, and people were trying to ask me questions. I was giving questions and answers. Someone said, you know, God must be an energy, and energy, and energy. I said, God, you know, God's an energy. But our God's greater because ours is an energy which can talk, an energy which has form. So the continues. We do not gain any profit simply by researching the analogous provinces of those days up to now. But it appears that the desert of Rajasthan and the provinces of scanty water like Madhya Pradesh were present even 5,000 years ago. The theory of soil experts that the desert developed in recent years is not supported by the statements of Bhagavata. You may leave the matter to expert geologists to research the changing universes as different phases of geological development. You're satisfied that the Lord has now reached his home province, Dwarka, from the Puni provinces. Kurukshetra continues to exist since the Vedic age, and it is sheer foolishness when interpreters ignore or deny the existence of Kurukshetra. So this is where Prabhupada's faith lies. It lies in the Bhagavatam. You know, and it's just a higher perspective of reality. It's just a higher perspective of reality. And and it's a question of faith. A lot of things we don't know, we haven't seen. I haven't been to China, I haven't seen so many things. So a lot of things we accept on the basis of experts. Science means a bunch of people who are qualified way beyond us to see things, who know microscopes and PhDs and have knowledge. And they all independently observe a phenomenon. They call it real, a fact. So similarly, when great saints in the purified hearts perceive something, we may not simply be able to perceive it because we're lay people, but we accept it on the basis of authority. Most things, even in the modern world, it could be a hoax for all you know, DNA, proton. We don't see any of those things. But we trust. And the layman is not qualified to perceive them either. But he trusts on the basis of authority. But we trust our authorities more than those authorities who are subject to cheating, who have a motive. You really can't be a person of knowledge and have attachments, because then your attachments inform your conclusions. I've seen that with people even who are very, very scholarly, but had their own issues and traumas, and then their traumas inform their decisions. They cannot be accepted as authorities. A spiritual authority has to have some objectivity. They have to be satisfied with the truth, even if it doesn't agree with their desires. And there's some people that cannot accept the truth if it doesn't agree with their desires, their proclivities, their agenda, their political party, and so many other upanis or designations. The bhakti is beyond designation. Sarvapani, the Nirmukam, Tatpara Praya, Nirmalam, Rishikesh, Sevanam Bhakti, Uttama. Uttama Bhakti, Sarvapani, the Nirmukam. No designations. Designations mean something that limits you, puts you in a place. Hari Pratyu Yutahana Svayam Deje Nishinthasya Kavishto Lokam Kakastuda. On his journey through these provinces, he was welcomed, worshipped, and given various presentations. In the evening, in all places, the Lord suspended his journey to perform evening rites. This is regularly observed after sunset. Purport, it said that the Lord observed the religious principles regularly when he was on the journey. There is certain philosophical speculation that even the Lord is under the obligation of fluid activity. But actually, this is not the case. He does not depend on the action of any good or bad work. Since the Lord is absolute, everything done by him is good to everyone. When he descends to the earth, he acts for the protection of the devotees and for the annihilation of the impious non-devotees. So here he's on his journey, Krishna's on his journey, and he's welcome, worshipped, he's giving presentations, and the evening he does some rituals. And therefore Prabhupada brings up the question that certain people then question if he's obligated. Because we are obligated to perform certain rituals, certain activities, certain duties, otherwise we get the reaction. Sometimes you call it prescribed duties. It's a prescription that's given to us, whether we like it or not. This is what's good for you. So did the Lord have a prescribed duty? No. But he is acting for the benefit of others. Because yadya kachirite shrishta tantareve kirojana. Whatever the great man do, common men will follow. It's so important, actually. That's why in a society, very important to sannyasis to have the proper level of renunciation. Is it reasonable that their needs are their services, of course? They're not sannyasis as days of yore. But it has to be, because if that's the top of society, if sannyasis are not renounced, they will move the society towards enjoyment. But a proper society that has sannyasis, not saying why it's not, but this is the principle. When the sannyasis actually do their dharma, that people understand it's attractive to renunciation, that this is the objective, and it moves people towards that. Although he has no obligatory duty, still he does everything so that others may follow. That is the way of factual teaching. One must act properly himself and teach the same to others.
Otherwise, no one will accept one's blind teaching. Yeah, example is better than precept. It's just a fact. People become inspired not because people speak the truth, but because people live the truth. So there's so many people who are scholarly, but they can't live it, and they have no shakti. He is himself the water of fluid results. He is self-sufficient, and yet he acts according to the rulings of the revealed scriptures in order to teach us the process. If he does not do so, the common man may go wrong. But in advanced stage, when one can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord, one does not try to imitate him. That is not possible. So, although example is better than precept, to inspire one, it's the precept that has to be followed, because the example, the activities of them are connected with their anakari or qualification. Therefore, one man's food may be another man's poison. He is self-sufficient, okay. The Lord in human society does what is the duty of everyone, but sometimes he does something extraordinary and not to be imitated by living beings. His acts of evening prayer is stated here and must be followed by a living being. But it's not possible to follow his mountain lifting or dancing with the gopis. One cannot imitate the sun, which can exhaust water even through a filthy place. The most powerful can do something, which is all good, but our imitation of such acts will put us into endless difficulty. Therefore, all actions, the experienced guide, the spiritual master, the manifested mercy of the Lord should always be consulted. The path of progress will be assured. So this is the purpose of a guide. What is Dharma? Dharma is the right choice. And the right choice is very, very subtle, what the right choice is, because it's not this, it's applied according to the circumstance. The right choice has to do also according to the adhikari of the person. So in a proper society, everyone wants to move forward and advance, and our decisions determine our fate. So making the correct decisions is such an important part of human life, and having the resources of knowledge that can guide one to make the right decisions is an essential part of human society. And ultimately what Dharma is the science of correct action, the correct choice, the choice, whether the choice is attachment or the choice is detachment. It is the choice that will elevate us further on the spiritual path. So consultation is so important. Without consultation, generally, it's very, very hard to see what's best, because our desires are burning and trying to dictate the choice. So we consult someone who doesn't have our desires, there are desires, can be neutral and objective and give a good choice and decision. So now chapter 11. Sutta Uvacha Anarthamsa Uparaja Sivitam Janapadam Sukhim Tathal Karavaram Tesham Visharam Samayam Viva. Sukhita Goswami said, upon reaching the border of his most prosperous metropolis known as the country of Anatha, Dwarka, the Lord sounded his auspicious conch shell, heralding his arrival and apparently pacifying the dejection of the inhabitants. So now there'll be union because there's separation and union. When the Lord leaves one place, there's separation. Where he goes, there's union. And he's always leaving and coming. So there's always union and separation. He wakes up in the morning in Vrindavan, and he leaves for the forest. His parents are in separation. Then he comes back. His parents are feeling his union. And the forest is in separation. So he's left Hastinapur. Now they're in separation. The residents of Dwarka are in separation. And now they're in union. And it's churning. Churning, they're anchoring their desire to be with God, their desire to have a relationship with God, their desire to serve God. Purport. The beloved is away from his own prosperous metropolis of Dwarka for a considerably long period because of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And thus all the inhabitants were overcome with melancholia due to the separation. And the Lord descends to the earth, his eternal associates also come with him. Just as the entourage of a king accompanies him. Such associates of the Lord are eternal liberated souls. And they cannot bear the separation of the Lord, even for a moment, because of intense affection for the Lord. So the more pleasure something is, and ultimately the highest pleasure is love or affection, the deeper it is, the greater the separation. Because God is the supreme object of love. He draws out the love of our heart, which he himself put in, this internal potency, and we can't bear that separation for a moment. So we're seeing that. The residents of Dwarka were so depressed in separation from Krishna, depressed, not liberated, associate. And now he's coming back. That's the spiritual world. The spiritual world is that lila churns hearts. And the churning of the heart brings rati or bhava to prema. So the lila is just stirring and churning the hearts to bring love to its perfected state so that God and the living entities can share the bliss of a relationship. Such associates, the Lord's, are eternally liberated souls, and they cannot bear the separation of the Lord even for a moment because of intense affection to the Lord. Thus the inhabitants of the city of Dwarka were in a mood of dejection and expected the arrival of the Lord at any moment. So the heralding sound of the auspicious conch shell was very encouraging. And apparently the sound pacified their dejection. It was still more aspirant to see the Lord amongst themselves. And all of them became very alert to receive him in a befitting manner. These are the signs of spontaneous love of God. So they hear the conch shell, they know he's coming. And they become very alert of how to express their love, how to welcome them. And that Prabhupada said, this is the symptom of spontaneous love of Godhead. You become very conscious of your beloved and how to please your beloved. Well, I have a monkey who came right to my window here. Vrindavan, he's coming to my class. To alert, attentive, and love. What does it mean? It means that person becomes the center, and you're moving very consciously according to his desires. So we Chikate, Kavalodaro, Yutramasya, Parasolashola, Tadayamara, Karak, Kanjasam today, Yakamchakande, Kalahamsa, Utsavasana, the white and fat bowl conch shells being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him appeared to be written by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. So this big conch shell, Krishna grabs it, and he sounded it. And the image was, the conch shell is so beautiful, it's fishy. Krishna's lips are so red, it seemed to redden. The conch shell almost seemed to become red. What a beautiful image. And it seemed just like a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus. Purport, the redness of the white conch shell due to the lip touch of the Lord is a symbol of spiritual significance. The Lord is all spirit and matter is ignorance of his spiritual existence. Action is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment. And the spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The Lord is present in every part of the world existed, and he can manifest his presence in anywhere. So God is everywhere, but it takes a special contact with God to bring it out. I think Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, said, when there is no circumference, the center is everywhere. So it means the center is God. God is everywhere. It's just his presence being manifest. And that's what the red on the white shell, conch shell represent. God's manifestation, his touch, awakens his reality of his existence. By ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell and the grip of the Lord, and the Paramahamsa, or the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. So, spiritual contact everything becomes spiritually alive. And spiritual contact, and that's the essence of bhakti. The essence of bhakti is experiencing God in form of his name, in form of his devotees, in form of his deities, in form of his background, in form of his message. But just as the sun is so bright, the cloud can cover our eyes to the sun. Our ignorance can cover us from the experience of God. And it's that faith or trust that opens our mind to that experience of God. And that's what devotional service is. It's contacting God and energizing your soul with love. That's what devotional service is. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. We're actually contacting God, purifying our consciousness. Are there any questions? or anyone can say hello. Because it's getting late at night here, I can only go for 45 minutes. Instead, I become too tired to give class.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard three. I heard four people.
Okay, this one. This one has a question, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Earlier you said that bodily identification delimits the soul, you know, so that the soul thinks it's relegated to like just one place, right? So that made me think of the fact that, you know, that verse in the Gita that, you know, where it says that the meaning of that verse that says the soul is all-pervading, it doesn't mean that it's everywhere. It just means that there's a whole lot of souls all over the place, you know? And so I'm trying to reconcile these two things.
Reconcile what things?
On the one hand, you said that, you know, the soul is like not just in one place, you know, we just think that way because we identify with the body, you know, the body like delimits the soul. But, you know, in the Gita,
I think you misunderstood me. But what I'm saying is the soul as an identity, and that identity becomes limited to the particular body. The false ego funnels our consciousness into a particular identification, which is false. That's called the body. It's an identification, which is false. That's all I know.
Oh boy, the connection is so bad.
Okay.
Okay, so you mean by one place, you mean the body. You mean the connection is so bad. Okay, by one, when you said one place, you meant the body.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and also, can you
not just the body, but the identification of the body. It's the body, but now the body is a professor, the body is a master, the body is the president. Okay, yeah. There's so many designations, limits to our identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also, can you just translate that word, Narayana Parayana, this word Parayana, what does that mean, Parayana?
Parayana means, I think, loves. One who loves. Narayana.
Uh-huh.
Narayana Parayana. Narayana Prasarve. Okay. All right, thank you, Gail.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else like to say hello? Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Who are they? Chaitanya Priya, Hare Krishna, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else? Okay, we'll answer now. Thank you all.